I did Ironmans and marathons and triathlons since my early 20s, and I love that stuff. I love the endurance aspect, and you're never going to be good at one and be good at the other as well. You know, it's like just this year, I ran the marathon, and I was squatting. I was getting my squat back up, and I run the marathon, and then I'm like, all right, my legs are fucking killing me for the next 3 weeks because...
This episode is brought to you by Organifi. Anders, tell us about it.
Oh, Organifi. We're going to talk about the green drink, right? You know why we have to talk about the green drink? Because everybody that lifts weights has no problem getting down all the meat and all the cheese and all the bacon and all the things that make you big and strong, and they always forget about the vitamins and minerals. And even if you weren't forgetting about your vitamins and minerals, there's a really strong chance that you're not getting enough. Do you know how many red peppers you have to eat to get all of the vitamins you need in your day? There's not enough time. You don't have the energy to do all that. There's just too many red peppers. However, if you take this sweet green drink, which tastes better than every other green drink out on the market, then you're going to get all the vitamins and minerals. That means better performance, better sleep, better recovery, all the things that you really want, all in one sweet little green drink from Organifi. So get over to Organifi.com/shrugged. You're going to save 20%. You're going to make people happy. You're going to feel better. All you got to do, Organifi.com/shrugged. Save 20%. Go do it now.
This episode is brought to you by Thrive Market. Anders, tell us about it.
Oh, Thrive Market, the coolest grocery store in all of the internet. Actually, if you are very interested in eating organic food, fueling your workouts for performance, and making sure you are putting the highest quality ingredients and food into your mouth to make sure you're getting bigger, stronger, faster in the healthiest possible way. Thrive Market has all of the answers for you. And for Shrugged listeners, you're going to get $60 in free organic groceries, free shipping, a free 30-day trial, all at thrivemarket.com/shrugged. Once again, $60 in free organic groceries, free shipping, and a 30-day trial at thrivemarket.com/shrugged.
Ready to go?
Word up! Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Anders Varner. That's Doug Larson. Adam Von Rothfelder.
Yeah.
Gorgeous day here in San Diego, California, wrapping up the Fitness Business Summit. We are joined by Kenny Santucci, owner of Solace. Solace Fitness?
Solace, New York.
If you have not seen this thing on Instagram, look, you guys created this gym, and then all of a sudden, like, you put a camera in the thing, it's freaking gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Every piece of it, which is so nice to see, because when I opened my gym, I had a dollar, maybe, and it looked like crap. It's just kind of dirty. The equipment sucks. The exact opposite of what you guys are going with at Solace.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you know, people are always like, oh, do you consider yourself competing with other CrossFit gyms? And there's, you know, the Fifth Avenue location, there's the Brick and all this. But those aren't our main competition. Our main competition are all these, like, boutique, beautiful studios.
Yeah.
Like, the Tone Houses and these fitting rooms and all these, like, small boutique places where it's like you get a towel, you get a water, they wipe your ass if you need them to. Like,
really?
That's what we need. Yeah. That's what we need to compete against in New York. New York is a completely different animal. So even coming here and listening to a lot of these guys talk and be like, oh, I got a small boot camp and I got $50. I'm like, it'll never fly. No. I mean, yes, you can do okay, but you need millions of dollars to make things work.
Well, if you're going to open in Manhattan,
yeah,
I mean, your rent just alone to get into the door to even put a piece of equipment in there is astronomical.
It's a totally different ballgame, and I tell everybody that. I'm like, my rent alone is what most guys are spending on four locations or five locations.
And I think one of the first gyms that opened, CrossFit specific, was like CrossFit New York.
Yeah.
And they got kicked out of like 12 places before they – I don't even know if they have a home anymore, but it was
I was actually just over there the other day, you know, talking with the owner, because they had bought about 3-4 years ago when, you know, CrossFit was at its, like, peak and everybody's joining and you hear more and more people joining CrossFit. Now they kind of plateaued. They had at one point 1,500 members. Yeah. It was doing ridiculous, and then it kind of dropped off a little bit, and now there's all these other boutique studios that – aren't calling themselves CrossFit, but they're doing CrossFit. Yeah. So they're not paying the affiliate and things like that. So now they have these two floors, 12,000 square feet apiece.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. You know, that they put like a cement slab on so they could drop and all this shit. And they're not doing as well as they were at one point. Yeah. And I think CrossFit as a whole isn't doing as well as it used to do.
I was at Fifth Ave one time, and they were putting in like a new floor that had springs under it or something to like try and dampen down the noise. And it was like insanely expensive having to do just to try to make it where they could drop weights again.
Yeah. Imagine being like a 300-pound clean and jerk. And the only thing underneath you is like one piece of plyboard.
Oh yeah,
like, that's dangerous as shit. Yeah, like
one of the only CrossFit workouts I've really jumped in was at the Black Box.
Okay,
which was like third or fourth story of a building that no dropping weights.
Yeah,
right. And the workout was very like deadlift, X, get to pull ups, and then we had to go for a run, and we're running down like three flights of stairs. Well, by the time we got to the last round, two people fell. As they were trying to get down the stairs as fast as possible so they could win this thing. And I'm like, I don't want to fall down the stairs. I'm like walking down the stairs.
No, it just doesn't make sense in Manhattan.
Yeah. So what go ahead, sorry.
No, like even running. Yeah. Like one of those things where it's like everybody's like, we put running into a workout. I'm like, I can't have 30 people running on 32nd and Park
by cars.
People are running over cars, knocking people over. I've had 100 people come in the gym and be like, stop running. I was like, you should start.
Yeah, especially if they have equipment. They're all carrying kettlebells.
Oh, all the time. In the morning, people are like mortified by like what they see, like girls in like little sports bras walking down the street.
That's awful. That's awful.
You must hate you.
Well, it's always like the people who've never even seen the inside of a gym are like, what are they doing? Why are they doing that?
Yeah.
It's like adopt that style.
They're obviously torturing people up there.
Yeah. What was kind of the vision when you guys opened, though? Because you've not just attracted like created a gorgeous gym, but attracted talent on the coaching side that's world class.
Yeah. Well, for me, I had a gym in New Jersey. I opened up back in 2012, 2013. Got into a little bit with my partners. You know, it happens to the best of us.
Things.
So that kind of fell apart, and then when they opened up Solace, about 6 months in, the guys who originally opened it up contacted me, and they're like, hey, you want to come coach for us, and blah, blah, blah. So I went over there, and I just looked at their model, and it was this beautiful space, and they had Dave Durante there, and they had Coach Panda over there, and they had all these guys, and I'm like, you guys are underutilizing all the talent you have here. You have this beautiful space you're underutilizing. So I was like, let me play around with this a little bit. So they kind of gave me the reins to the business for a while. And now I kind of run it, me and one other guy.
Yeah.
But we did like a HIIT style class because they had this whole top floor that they were only using for gymnastics. I was like, but the market for people who want to do gymnastics isn't that big.
Yeah.
Once, twice, maybe even three times a week. But you need to put something else in here that could kind of compete with the rest of the landscape here in New York. So we started doing kettlebells, assault bikes. We were like the first ones to have like assault bikes in these HIIT style classes. Yeah. I had ski ergs and rowers, and kind of just made it. We called it body because it was all the people who didn't give a shit about the performance side of CrossFit. They don't want to snatch. They don't want to deadlift. They don't care about any of that stuff. They just want to look better naked. So we kind of so we just kind of did like the bare bones. It's like CrossFit basically without a barbell, and that's what most of these studios are. They're CrossFit without a barbell. So it just got. I started that program with three classes. 5 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Three went to five went to 15, 15 went to 30, and now we have over 60 classes a week just in that. We run over 200 classes a week.
Wow. Out of how many educators, coaches?
I have close to 25 coaches. So we do like gymnastics class, we have a barbell class, we have a strength class. We're actually looking at a new space downtown in like Financial District to do like more of a barbell type club, like where you could do some strongman stuff. More, weightlifting, powerlifting, stuff like that, because we're starting to see, I'm doubling down on it, especially in New York. You know, people are doing HIIT classes, but it gets old. And I'm starting to see all these, what we call the basic bitch, they're the ones who are consuming. They're the ones who are buying. And they're the ones who are now like over the HIIT stuff, and they want to start playing with a barbell. They want to squat. Yeah. They want to deadlift. They want to do these things. So I'm like, I want to create a whole gym where that, we'll have a little bit of CrossFit here and there, but for the most part, it's going to be like barbell stuff.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Because there's nothing else like it.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely second that. There's nothing like that in New York.
Yeah.
I spent a decent amount of time there, and I would love to find a gym that had an Atlas stone or a keg to carry.
And it's in the basement. It's going to be a cool spot. So.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
You know, most gyms, they run, like, say, 8 classes a day, something like that, 7 days a week, which is like a fourth of what you're doing. Like, what is 200 classes a week look like?
We run CrossFit classes on the half hour. So it's like 5:30, 6:30, 7:30 during those peak times.
Those one-hour classes that are overlapping?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're one-hour classes, and we kind of just separate the room. So, like, you know, the class will start here, and it moves to here, and everybody kind of follows that train. And then the basement's big enough where we have a barbell or a strength class going on in the back. So we do starting strength. Mike Wolf's one of our coaches, so he runs this whole program Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. And then we do our weightlifting classes on the opposite days. And then we have our studio upstairs where it's basically like a yoga Pilates studio that we have a class going on there. And then we have a class upstairs in our HIIT style studio.
It really is like the future of, I think, where, I mean, there's so many gyms right now that are struggling to keep up with what people like you are doing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just have like that dingy gym that looks like the basement only, and you're not going to attract the talent. People are only going to be there a little while, and you're really talking to this like everybody knows there should be some intensity in your workouts now.
Yeah.
You're not just having like high level CrossFitters only show up, or people with massive strength backgrounds, but finding that person that just wants to show up, look good, but they know they have to go to a real gym now.
Like, yeah.
But real gyms don't have to suck. They don't have to be dirty. They don't have to be gross.
Well, it's even now at the point where, like, the Equinoxes are catching up.
Yeah.
Like, Equinox is now building hotels that, like, are destination spots where people are like, I'm going to go work out there. So they're going to have all the bells and whistles that you want. But I started at Equinox 10 years ago, and they had two benches, maybe one squat rack, and now they're changing out their floors and stuff and starting to make them more functional spaces. So as soon as those guys catch up and all these guys start doing like the Lifetime Fitness and stuff, they already have these, you know, alpha programs where they got 10 squat racks down the down the length of the space.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't compete with money like that. So a lot of these smaller gyms everybody is going to have to try to compete with these guys.
I think it comes down to those coaches, right?
Yeah,
and that's
for
really,
sure.
You know, and the ability to have a educated staff that can pivot at any moment and start bringing something new.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, where it's like you brought up Equinox, you go to like the Chelsea one, and it's actually got like a serious amount of kettlebells and some squat racks and platforms.
Yeah.
You're like, I actually could work out here.
Yeah. Well, we're in the Midwest and in California and stuff, there, you guys have the space. In New York, there's very few spaces, little spaces where you can have everything. Unless you're on the West Side Highway or the East River or something, nobody wants to go all the way over there. So you'll be able to do some stuff. But for you guys out in like the Midwest or, you know, down south and stuff, people could buy a space, a 20,000 square foot facility or 40,000 square foot facility, and put everything in there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like you can't compete against that because people want those amenities. Plus, they'll be able to charge less.
Yeah.
Because they'll have all this, you know, income from a bigger corporation. So it's going to get harder, and the landscape's definitely going to change. And people are now, it went from, hey, I don't like doing any type of fitness, to I do too much fitness, to like, what's the next wave? You know, there's so many people who are like, if you look up the hashtag fitness, everybody's doing it. Like, my mother puts up fitness. 65 years old. I'm like, is it cool anymore?
Yeah. Damn, now you got me thinking.
Yeah. Where did this fitness thing come into your life? Because you're clearly not starting just running 200 classes a week. But, like, when did this kick in for you?
My entry into the fitness world was I was really fat as a kid.
My
whole family.
Yeah.
Very Italian, very, like, New Jersey, so you always had to eat everything on your plate plus whatever your grandmother had left over. So I got really heavy, and I was just like, I'm fucking miserable. I'm fat. Like, so a lot of times when I tell people, they're like, oh, how do you coach? I'm like, I coach from an empathetic point of view. But nobody was ever nice to me about it. My whole family, like, abused me for being a fat bastard. So it's kind of the same way I teach. I'm like, listen, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You're clearly fucking out of shape. Let me help you. Come in. You know, do what you got to do, and I promise you'll feel better. Because anybody's like, I feel great being fat. No, you don't. It's a fucking lie. I know exactly how you feel. You wouldn't be adjusting your shirt and, you know, buying fucking XXL clothes all the time. It doesn't feel good. So I was like, all right, well, how do I change this? I started reading muscle magazines and, you know, getting into the whole Arnold
thing. What age was this?
13, 14.
Okay.
Yeah. But I went into high school weighing 235. I remember I tell this story all the time. So when I tried out for the freshman football team, right, they're like, all right, if you're going to be a quarterback, go over here, and the linemen go over here, and the receivers go over here. So I went with the receivers, being 235 pounds as a 5'3". And they're like, no, nah, buddy, you got to go.
5'3"?
You didn't know.
I was like 5'4", 5'5".
Okay. You've had a growth spurt since then. I can see it.
So they're like, no, you got to go with the fucking linemen. I was like, ah, shit. So,
I don't want to be one of those. I want to be cool.
I was like, I can't run for a touchdown. Nah, you're going to be a little slower than the rest of the
guys. Yeah.
So I started playing football. I fell in love with wrestling my freshman year of high school, and I did it all through high school and college. Even in college, I'm like, I want to take some kinesiology classes. I want to understand more. Like, the more I knew, the more I wanted to learn more. And then I was talking to a friend who worked at Equinox at the time, and I was working out with a trainer in Jersey, and she's like, yeah, I could get you a job at Equinox, no problem. So I started working over there, fell in love with it. It was very humbling because I was on television and I started working the floor at Equinox, like cleaning up weights and handing people fucking towels and shit. And then slowly but surely I opened up a gym in Jersey, and then now I'm at Solace and I get to work with a lot of like great brands and stuff. So it's been a journey for sure.
Yeah. What did you find the CrossFit?
So a buddy of mine who lived out here was talking. He's like, dude, you got to do this workout, blah, blah, blah. This was 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
He's like, let's do this workout really fast. And at the time, I'm still doing this workout really fast.
That's literally it.
Yeah. I'm still doing like concentration curls, never really like squatting, even in college and shit. I would like, I got to go to the bathroom and like, skip the squats and shit. I fucking hated squatting. I still do. I'd rather deadlift all day. So I got into it, and there was like so much squatting, and there wasn't a lot of. When I first started doing it, like, most of the workouts were, like, kettlebell swings and box jumps and shit like that. Like, any gym I went to that was a CrossFit gym wasn't really doing a lot of barbell shit. And then a friend of mine, when I really got into it, was when Black Box, a friend of mine was like, dude, let's try out this Black Box place. It seems cool. And I went over there, and it was, like, power cleans and shit. And I'm like, I wasn't really good at them. Even in college and high school, they were, it was still, like, curl the bar.
Yeah.
Bounce it off your leg, curl the bar. And I'm like, all right, that sounds easy enough. So I started doing that, and then I kind of just fell in love with the culture when, like, Fifth Ave first came up. I met a bunch of guys over there who I, like, just fell in love with. Dre, who was, like, the original head coach over there, fell in love with him and, like, all the stuff that he preached about CrossFit. Like, he really taught me about CrossFit. And that's when I was like, oh, this is it. And I would argue, I was still working at Equinox at the time, and they were like, you can't be doing CrossFit. It's a direct competitor of ours. And I'm like, you guys got to embrace this because this is going to be the future. This is what's going to, kind of take over. And it did,
That sounds like Equinox. You meet a lot of people that, started there. And the dogma is actually what sent them away.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Because then they're like, wait, like, this isn't everything, actually.
Yeah.
Like, fitness is much bigger than just this.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are so many people that I've met through the years who started there. Kind of learn, and because it's a great foundation, they have a great foundations program to like teach their trainers, and it's pretty extensive. And I appreciate it, and I'm glad I took the journey I did. And when younger trainers ask me like, where should I go? I'm like, you should find either a really good CrossFit facility that's willing to teach you and spend the time with you for you to understand what's going on, or start at like an Equinox or somewhere where they have a good fundamentals program to get people to understand, just basic human movement. Because anytime I meet people who are like, oh, I invented this or I did this, it's like, you can't invent the way the body moves. It moves in seven ways. We do the same fucking three lifts everywhere and anywhere you go. Like, you didn't invent anything.
What does some of the coaching development at Solace look like?
So now we built it out because now we just need so many more trainers all the time. We kind of onboard them, kind of test their interest. It's like, here, listen, be a member here. If you're a member here for 2-3 months and I see that you love the business, then I'm willing to invest the time into you. After I see that you're interested in doing this, depending on like what your background is and what certifications you have and things like that, could kind of push you forward a little bit faster than other people, just because I need the talent.
Yeah.
But what I have them do is I kind of have them start taking shadowing classes, understanding every aspect of it, because it's not just one thing. It's not just CrossFit. Yeah. So I need them to understand CrossFit. I need to understand HIIT style class. I need them to understand this studio stuff. I also have them go through working the front desk for a little bit. So now I have employees who could kind of work anywhere. Like, God forbid somebody doesn't show up or something happens, I could kind of have them cycle through the business. So depending on what your level of interest is, what your background is, will determine where I start you on that train. But everybody's got – I need to see that you love it. I don't need to have to convince somebody to be there. If you hear like, oh, they pay really well over there. I don't want you to just be here for a fucking paycheck.
Yeah.
Just like they were saying inside. I want you to show up 15 minutes early. I want you hanging out there all day. Like, I'd rather you be here and, you know, kind of help out and do certain things and go that extra mile. Like, I mean, between some of the sponsorships I have, I always give my coaches, like, something extra, like a pair of sneakers or, you know, anything I have that I could give away to them just to show them I appreciate what they're doing.
How much do you guys do that's not group classes? How much do you, like, coach athletes that want to compete in CrossFit, like, in a, on a one-on-one basis or personal training or small group stuff?
We do some personal training. The space is limited. Like, we literally max out the space most of the time. But we do a lot of, like, private training as well. There's not a lot of athletes. I mean, most people in New York have real jobs. Like, real jobs is being lawyers and doctors. Like, we're down the street from NYU. We're surrounded by financial firms. So everybody's, I mean, nobody really has that much of an interest to, like, do that extra stuff. They want to come in and run out. That's why I say, I'm like, I sell a shit ton of Fit Aid and bars and stuff like that because people come in, they grab shit, and they run out.
Yeah.
There are very few people, some of the younger kids, some of the college students who come in. We do some, like, private one-on-one training with them. So we have Dave who does all the gymnastic stuff, and we have this guy Nick who does all our weightlifting, and Wolf does all our strength training. So there are different people in different avenues who, like, if you want to do this, we'll send you to him. If you want to do that, we'll send you to her. Mm-hmm. You know, so on and so forth. So
having guys like Dave Durante on staff, someone who's, like, just super high-level gymnastics, most CrossFit gyms do not have that. Maybe they have a weightlifting coach. Maybe they have someone who did a few years of gymnastics if they're lucky. But, like, most people don't have someone like Dave. Like, does that set you guys apart on in the gymnastics realm compared to other gyms?
100%. I attribute a lot of the stuff that we have going on to him. Like, people come in from all over the world who are, like, oh, we follow Dave. We want to come meet him. I'm like, if he's here, he's the nicest, most humble guy you'll ever meet. He's by far one of the best people I've ever met. And he'll work with people on a moment's notice if he's around. He just had a kid and stuff, so he's kind of busy with his family and then busy with traveling and stuff. But if people come in and want to work with him and, you know, we call him up, he'll be more than happy to help them out. But even Michael Wolf, I mean, he's one of the first starting strength guys in New York. I mean, he works directly with Ripito. He's one of his main guys, so he's there all the time. He helps people a lot. I mean, like I said, I can't thank the world enough for my staff.
So
great.
How do you go from I don't really like to squat to owning a CrossFit gym? That's a leap.
It's one of those things where you got to do the shit you suck at. You know? So I kind of force myself to do that. I just fell in love with I did Ironmans and marathons and triathlons since my early 20s. And I love that stuff. I love the endurance aspect. And you're never going to be good at one and be good at the other as well. You know, it's like this year, I ran the marathon. And I was squatting. I was getting my squat back up. And I run the marathon. And then I'm like, all right, my legs are fucking killing me for the next 3 weeks because it feels terrible. It's, you know, it's the second time I've done New York. And every time you cross that bridge on like mile 15, 16, you're like, oh, this feels terrible. And I have another 10 miles to go.
People were not meant to run for hours straight on concrete.
No.
I don't even like to drive that far.
Yeah.
Let alone run that far.
And people are like, are you going to do it again? I'm like, I guess if I get the opportunity. It's an amazing experience. It's like it is the only race that I've ever run that there are people every inch of that road. You know, there are people from Staten Island to, you know, when you finish in the park that are screaming. And it's awesome. It's an unbelievable experience. And I want to do another Ironman again. But it's
why do you hate yourself?
But it's one of those things. It's like, I go back and forth. Anytime I start to get ahead a little bit with weightlifting or powerlifting or anything, now it's like, I'm like, oh, well, that'd be a cool race to run. Let me try that.
Yeah, that's that rounded life, though. I mean, if you're not, like, Solus kind of embodies that, where it's like the dogma is not there because you guys are willing to teach all these other things outside of CrossFit. So you doing your running in itself is a direct reflection of your business.
Yeah.
How you run.
It's exactly like, I mean, I tell everybody, I'm like, don't just pigeonhole yourself to like one thing. I mean, I have all these experts in these different fields, but like, you know, Dave will jump into CrossFit and do some weightlifting and powerlifting and stuff. I mean, it's very across the board that I kind of preach to them to try other shit. You know, it's like, yeah, he's an expert in that, but doesn't mean he only does that.
Well, all these things used to be so hard to find. Like, Even when I opened my CrossFit gym, I thought for a lot of times people were just paying all this extra money just so they could drop weights because we were the only person in town that was allowing it.
Yeah.
And now, and then like powerlifting was in these like really seedy corners like Westside Barbell. How many people are invited to Westside? Like none, yeah. None. You literally, nobody would even want to be there.
Right. Yeah.
And then gymnastics, like that's impossible. Well, now we've got high level coaches all in one place. It's pretty freaking incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I mean, and that's why like I want to create this other satellite box where I could kind of do all the specialty stuff down there and like leave this for like a lot of the classes and stuff.
And how far do you think that is in the future for you to be able to for me to be visiting New York and checking out number 2
God
and
willing,
carrying some kegs.
God willing, like 3 to 6 months.
Sweet. I'll hold you to that.
So, yeah. Keep in touch. Yeah. I'm hoping it works out. I you know, I see a lot of these gyms that I like to travel to. A lot of the stuff, and that's what I was going to say on stage, but I only had about 5 minutes. Just a lot of shit I've done, it's okay to say you're selfish. Like, a lot of the times I'm like, I buy equipment that I want to play with. Yeah. And I'm sure I'm not the only one. And it's like, I create a space that I want to be in. You know, I want to keep it clean. I want to have, you know, different shit there, like different amenities and stuff. So it's okay to be selfish because you're probably not the only person who thinks or wants these, you know, different things. So I'm like, if I create a space where I want to train, like, I went to Barbell Brigade probably like maybe 2 years
downtown
ago.
Downtown LA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a cool space. This is just something different. We don't really have anything like this. So I'm like, all right, if we had something like this in New York with a little something extra because we need that. But you have to be dialed in. I mean, there's so much shit in New York. They're the craziest fucking workouts. It's like hanging from bands from the ceiling and trampolines.
Spider fitness.
Yeah. Like, you're like, what the fuck even is this? Like, people will do, and everybody's like, it's the best workout I've ever done. I go, really?
Yeah. I saw it on the news, and I was like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, it's a little scary. Have you seen, do you know who Logan Gelbrick is?
No.
He's, he owns Deuce Gym.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They've done a really great.
Yes.
I only bring it to you because it'd be a good place to look at it. They've kind of incorporated that strongman model into a CrossFit-esque gym, and it's just you know.
I know Josh pretty well.
Oh like, yeah.
So I've been there a couple times. I love that gym, and it's so simple. It's so, you know, accessible.
Yeah.
You know, you could go in, you could do anything you want. You got so much shit there.
Yeah.
Like, they have a little bit of everything. It's kind of CrossFit, but not really. And it's kind of strongman.
Yeah.
It's mostly strongman stuff. So, yeah, I mean, there are very few places. There's a place out in Queens, right? What the hell's it called? CrossFit Bell. And they did a lot of, like, strongman. They do strongman Saturdays and stuff like that. And they had kegs. And I've been, you know, slowly collecting those strong fit bags. I'll buy one a month
Julian?
On my own dime.
Yeah.
I'll buy one a month on my own dime. And I'm like, I just want the whole fucking thing because I could drop these in the basement and they'll be fine.
He puts on a great seminar.
Does he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to check that out.
He puts on a great seminar.
So I want to be able to do that in my gym and have it right in Manhattan because to go to Queens, I'm like, fuck, I've been wanting to go for like a year now. I never have a moment to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go out to Queens, work out, and then spend the rest of the day fucking around.
Yeah.
We're going to take a little break. When we get back, though, I think one of the underlying things that goes on at Solace New York, it sounds like there's a really deep culture that you guys are looking for. I want to dig into that when we get back.
Cool.
Shrug listeners, incredibly excited to be announcing our recent partnership with Onnit. Onnit is the leading company in clinically backed research and development for nootropics and supplementation. We recently spent a week down at their facility in Austin, Texas. And from top to bottom, I can tell you that everything that these guys do is at the highest level, clinically researched, and they're putting all of their time and energy into creating the best products for you to perform at your highest level. Specifically, the nootropic Alpha Brain, which is their best-selling nootropic. I have been taking it. I have been digging it. I love it. There's no crashes like you often get from coffee. The ability to stay focused and have clarity throughout your day. We are operating at a very high level. We need to be on for interviews. We're traveling a lot and we need to be performing in the gym. Alpha Brain gets us there. It keeps us there and we're able to perform in the gym, out of the gym without having these gigantic crashes throughout the day. Make sure you get over to onnit.com/shrugged. You're going to get a 14-pill trial, which is a week-long trial of their best-selling Alpha Brain Nootropic.
Welcome back to Barbell Shrug. Kenny Santucci in the house.
Boom.
Do you see what's going on out here? Somehow, in the middle of the first segment, this gigantic boat
parallel park.
Yeah,
we bring it into the break, and there's a 400 ton monstrosity behind us. But
yeah,
welcome back.
That?
You could squat that
twice, yeah. Maybe. back with Kenny Santucci, Solace, New York. Tell us about the culture of this place and why you guys are so successful and how we're going to be able to replicate that into the next chapter here.
Same stuff I talked about on stage yesterday. Kind of eat your own shit. And everybody's like, whoa, it's a little much. I'm like, no. I was like, you're shoving bullshit down people's throats. You know, there's so many fitness instructors and everybody's like in the fitness world now. And whatever you're selling, whether it's fucking shirts, hats, you know, fitness program, are you doing it yourself? Yep. And people see that, you know, and I think the more I kind of created that culture of like, hey, if we're going to sell this shit, we should take it. And if we're going to, you know, talk about these workouts, we should do them. And the more you kind of create that, the more people start to believe you. They're like, well, this guy's really into this and he does it himself, so I might as well jump on board. So I think that's kind of created what we have here. Yeah.
So a lot of the coaches do the classes then?
Yeah, I try to get the coaches to do as much as they possibly can. I mean, obviously, like I told you, we have 200 classes a week. So the more
there isn't room for them to do their own thing. If you would like to work out, you got to go.
Yeah, but some of our coaches, like, they'll do the programming before they, you know, my head coach and one of my other assistant coaches, they do the programming the day before. So they know how to, like, they'll be like, okay, it's going to take 15 to 20 minutes for the average person to do this. We did it in 8 or 10. So we have a good estimate of what everything will take and how it's going to shake down as far as, like, the floor goes, because running two classes at a time is pretty difficult.
Do you, at Solace, as part of, like, the community and everything that you built, do you guys run I had my first experience at a Friday Night Lights here and, like, seeing, like, CrossFit, you know, really happening and people competing. Is that something that you guys hold? Do you hold open workouts?
For sure.
And get the whole hoorah, like, getting those people jacked up to...
So for the past couple of years, we do, like, a Thursday night. Like, so the announcement comes out, and then right afterwards, we'll have, like, we'll build it up. We'll have two people going head-to-head. This year, we started doing four people, so we kind of got more of an audience. And we'll have them go head to head, and we'll have people come show up and stuff. But I think what it is, we've given people variety. We've given people a couple different programs. If you join, like we were talking about, like a Rumble or something like this, you're getting that workout. That's it. You know, it's like, yeah, you could go do it once to maybe twice a week, but it's like you could kind of invest in us where it's like, well, one day you're going to do, you know, our endurance class, and the next day you're going to do CrossFit, and the next day you're going to do this. So people have very short attention spans, obviously. I mean, you can't look at the same naked girl three times on fucking Instagram. You got to kind of scroll through and find different ones.
I need more.
So, I need a different one.
I need variety.
Yeah, but think about it. I had a conversation with somebody about you know, men's blogs versus women's blogs on the internet. And guys, just everything is scrolling. It's like Barstool Sports. Like, you go on, you're just scrolling through, you know, videos and pictures and ideas and stories, whereas, like, everything for women is, like, more organized and put in place. So, anyway, like, in our culture, it's like, okay, I don't want to do this today. I could do this, and I could do this. And we'll have people do two and three classes a day, which I don't kind of encourage, but, I mean, if it's there and you want to do it and you're willing to pay for it, again.
Prioritize fun.
Yeah. No. Yeah, and that's what it is, too. Unbelievable. I mean, that's kind of what I missed saying. We just want people to have a good time.
Yeah.
As long as my three rules for everybody is, like, keep people safe, keep people smiling, and get them results. Because if they get results, then their friends are going to see it, and then they're going to invite their friends and blah, blah, blah. And that's kind of how you keep the ball rolling.
So you got a lot going on that's not just running the gym. Like, how much time are you actually able to spend in the gym talking to members, hanging out?
I mean, I get there most days at, like, 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm a control freak, so I like being there. I like being involved in everything. And I'll stay there till 8, 9 o'clock at night. I rarely sleep. I mean, that's why I kind of look like a bag of shit now myself.
I was going to say something, but you're doing all right, bro.
I feel like I'm falling apart some days because I want to be there, and we have so much going on. And now, you know, kind of coming up with this new facility and stuff like that, it's just going to completely wear me out. But, yeah, I mean, all the members know who I am. They know my name. I always tell them, like, I'll send out a monthly monthly letter to the membership base, whether it's for me or from one of the coaches. If you need anything, please feel free to reach out to us. Like, we want them to know, and I want them to know that, like, we're there. It's like you're paying a premium. If I was there and I was paying a premium to go to my gym, I'd want to be able to get in contact with the owner and know that, like, he gives a shit about me being here. So,
you know, with having such a getting back to your gymnastics program,
yeah,
and the culture in the community, having somebody like David Durant, do you have people that are actually coming in that are, you know, people that want to continue as a gymnast, or do you have people that are looking at more of the gymnastics strength training aspect of it? And do you find that gymnastics strength training is enough for a member to be like, I worked out today?
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like sometimes people are like, I didn't work out. I did gymnastics.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you worked out.
That happens a lot. So a lot of people will come in and they'll kind of back to back do either HIIT style class and gymnastics, or gymnastics and then CrossFit. Weightlifting and gymnastics. So they'll always double up on a day like that. The way Dave runs it is it's more for strength. You know, you'll kind of start to build the ability to do a lot of the stuff where it's like, it's not, you know, you're not doing all these pull-ups and stuff like that. He's not running like a CrossFit class. It's more like, here, build the strength to finally be able to do these things.
Right, skill development. Yeah. With skill comes strength. And
yeah, and it's a lot of skill. And if you're doing it for strength, I mean, the way it's done, it's like you're doing smaller sets, 3 and 5 sets. To kind of build you up to, like, where you want to be. So I get the feeling of, like, hey, I didn't do enough, but you definitely do. I mean, you're sore the next day. It's like when he does muscle-up training and stuff with a lot of our clients. The people who don't have it, you're doing assisted muscle up. So people are helping either with
the ring thing.
I love it. Got one in my garage. Yeah,
I have two.
We'll have people working like groups of three, and they like kind of help each other up and stuff like that. But after, like, you're doing 3 sets of 5 or 5 sets of 5, you're like, oh shit, my arms are sore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And Dave also has Power Monkey Camp. Are you involved with that at all?
No, but I've been. I went to the last intensive, and I'm going this November, this October, the first week of October. I'm going to go to the official camp. And if you guys haven't gone, it's definitely worth going.
Is that one sold out yet? I want to go.
No, this is the one in April sold out. He's got like 100 people going. It's awesome. It's really cool.
He's
done a nice job with it.
That's held down in like Tennessee?
Yeah.
Something, yeah.
So it's not too far from Mayhem. So they go over there and work out with Mayhem. He's good buddies with Froning and stuff. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All those cool people hanging out together.
Well, dude, they show up and there's
like Olympians.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you used to be able to like go and be like, check out my strict muscle up. And everyone's like, yeah, cool. And then you go to see those people and you're like, oh, that was like the start.
Yeah.
That move doesn't even count. Like, shit, I have nothing now.
Right. A muscle up is actually how you just get their whole ring routine going.
Like, okay, now you're ready. that's all I got. I was done.
Yeah, what we think is like the epitome of being a CrossFit athlete. It's like, oh, he's got a muscle up. You know, you've made it when you got a muscle up, but you're like, that's nothing in gymnastics.
Yeah.
It's like, it's how you get yourself up.
It doesn't even have a difficulty rating. Like, they rate skills A, B, C, D. Like, it doesn't even have a rating. It's just considered to be a basic skill.
And
they don't even give it a difficulty.
It's just getting harder and harder to be good at gymnastics too. It's, you know, some of the stuff he shows us and does.
So if you're listening,
I imagine some of the stuff. Watching some of the like YouTube training videos of what CrossFit girls, I assume the guys as well, but what they're able to do, it used to literally be like you can do a muscle up. Cool, you're probably going to go to regionals. You may be going to the games, but even girls at the games weren't just like knocking these things out. And now they're doing programmed routines. They're linking these things together. Everything's strict and tight and like levers. And you're just like, man, how? But Dave put such a good program together. It's like it's so obvious why the skill and the sport has progressed so much.
Well, at the camp, I mean, everybody who's on his team, I mean, Chad Vaughn, all these guys, everybody to be accepted onto his team, to be one of the coaches, you have to be an Olympian.
Yeah.
You know, in some capacity.
It's a high standard.
Yeah.
That's good, man. That's awesome. Yeah.
It's a tight team. And it's weightlifting. It's gymnastics. It's endurance. It's everything. Like, he goes through the whole gamut. And it's not just for CrossFitters who want to be good. It's anybody who's interested in fitness at a very high level. This is it. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's interesting because I think in our age, like the age that we're all in, we've kind of seen two sports really be created, MMA and CrossFit.
Yeah.
Right? And I believe that MMA is a great historical lesson as to where CrossFit goes, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like MMA fighters like myself 8 years ago had like very specific skill sets, mm-hmm. where now MMA is its own art.
Yeah.
And kids have been practicing it since 6 instead of 21.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now it's like that's insane, and I never could have done that.
Well, it's scary because, you know, I think we've all aged out here. I'm guessing we're all over the age of 30.
Yes.
You know, well over the age of 30.
Yes. Yeah.
But you see these younger kids, it's like, I went to the games like the last couple of years, and you see this team division, these guys are snatching fucking 275, 280. Yeah. I'm like, at 17, 18 years old, I'm like, I can't do that at 30.
No.
So it's like, this is it. It's over.
What is Travis? Yet. What is Travis's mashes?
Yeah, he's got a kid that's 14 that cleaned like 315. I saw him clean a jerk 330.
But
today.
No one was doing that before. Like we
it
were
didn't
the,
exist.
Yeah. And with MMA, it's like when I was in college, and it's like MMA was still very underground, you know? And it's like you'd watch him. It's like Matt Hughes was like the great wrestler. And at the time, he had that big rival where he would St. Pierre.
Yeah.
You know, and St. Pierre was like a young dude at the time, and he was kind of good in kickboxing. So everybody had their skills. But as time grew, as time developed, and these guys developed more and more, they're like killers now. I mean, they could do everything and anything.
Yeah. You know? GSP was a karate guy.
Yeah.
Kyokushin. Yeah. And then he'd like go against this taekwondo guy, and they'd have a conflict of, you know, skill that it gave one the advantage over the other, you know, in a certain moment. But
being an MMA guy, I feel like a lot of them stand up now. Like, whereas, like, a lot of the judo guys and jiu-jitsu guys would, like, you know, want to throw or grapple a little bit more. I feel like everybody's got to have a good stand-up game now.
Yeah. Especially when they force the stand-up now.
Yeah.
They're like, no, you guys aren't doing shit on the ground. Like, stop humping each other's legs. Stand up. Start hitting each other again.
Yeah.
Right on, man. This is super cool. I've always dug what's been going on at Solace New York.
I appreciate it.
It's been really cool. I remember when you guys built it, just being like, oh, wow, like, we've gotten to the next level. Like, now I know what it looks like and how all gyms need to look in order to be successful. And
well, I think it's all going to turn around again, you know, just like everything else. Like, you know, when I started working out in high school and college and stuff, gyms were dingy and shitty, and then they got really nice. Everybody wanted to go to something like an Equinox, and then they got shitty again where it's like everybody wants to go to a garage, and now they're nice again. So it all come full circle. So like I was telling a couple of guys here, I'm like, don't give up. I mean, obviously keep it clean.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a clean, nice facility. Don't you know,
staff,
have people
staff
don't stop cleaning.
Don't spit on the floors and shit like that.
Yeah.
But keep the place clean. You could have a garage gym that's really cool.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it'll be – yeah, clean is important. Even in your if you're listening, if you're an outdoor gym, still don't spit on the floor.
Yeah. Like, it's one of those things. I'm like, who the hell wants to work out?
Yeah,
this?
You know?
Nobody wants to do burpees on their spit.
No.
Where can people find you?
At Kenny Santucci.
There it is.
On Instagram, that's all I really use. I don't have a YouTube or a podcast or anything like that. So,
and if people are in Manhattan, you guys take drop-ins and all that?
Yeah, anybody who wants to come by, I'm happy to, you know, take care of everybody. If they want the first one on me, it's on me. Like, anytime somebody's asked, is like, could I just come in? I'm like, yeah, sure. You asked.
We'll make it special for Shrugged listeners.
Yeah.
Go in and say Barbell Shrugged.
For sure.
And you'll definitely get a free session.
They'll charge you double.
Yeah.
We have open gyms, so if people want to just come in and fuck around and use some of the shit we got.
Awesome.
Happy to have him.
Right on.
Von Rothfelder.
Yes, sir.
Where can people find you?
You can find me at Von Rothfelder or at Strong Coffee Company and www.strongcoffeecompany.com. Get yourself some latte.
How did we make it through a whole show without discussing this Mike Tyson shirt?
Oh, man.
So fresh, dude.
That is a cool shirt.
Thanks, bro. Yeah.
I will get lost on YouTube of people telling Mike Tyson stories, and then all of a sudden it's like midnight.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, this whole night's gone, but God, was that awesome.
What one of the most interesting icons of our time.
Unbelievable.
Sure.
Yeah.
I saw you had Undisputed on your shelf.
My dad and I, we buy each other like a book each year for Christmas, and the year Tyson's book came out, we bought each other the same book.
Nice.
It was Tyson's book.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. Yeah, the Roots of Fight, man. They're so cool.
Is this Roots of Fight?
Yeah, Roots of Fight. My friend actually should check it out in New York.
There's stores downtown.
It's called a shop called Super R. And the Roots of Fight shop, Super R guys, opened up, and those are good dudes to check out.
Cool.
Yeah
I gotta check that out.
Doug.
Right on. You can check me out, Douglas E. Larson, on Instagram.
Come and hang out at Anders Varner. That's me. The show, Barbell Shrugged Podcast. Make sure you like, download, subscribe, all the things on iTunes, YouTube. Leave us a cool comment. Go see Kenny in New York. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for making it all the way to the end of the show. If you liked the show, which I know you did, please go share it on Facebook, Instagram, or whatever social media channel you happen to be loving at the moment. Pinterest, Twitter,
Tumblr.
Share it on Tumblr.